Om Shanti. Before I start the class, I would like to ask everyone, are you all nicely, comfortably staying? Is your accommodation arrangements are okay? Everybody happy? Good. One of the primary blessings which we receive when we join this divine family is to remain ever happy. And our sweetest Baba keeps giving us tips to keep that stage of super senses joy constantly. The topic given to me this evening is responsible to be responsible, yet detached. Is it possible to keep detached and also be responsible? Yes, good. I see many heads nodding. That means people have experience in that field. Good. I would like to start with a tradition or a cultural story of a royal family who has been ruling around this area where we are seated now for more than 1,000 years. And some important personalities born in that royal family were the bravest produced in this country. One of the names is Maharana Pratap. Another one is Maharana Kumbha, who made the fort of Achalgarh, which Baba does refer sometimes in his Murli as well, that Achalgarh is a memorial of your Achal speech, unshakable speech. The tradition goes like this. Whenever a king has to be crowned, in this family where now the seat is in Udaipur, earlier it was Chittorgarh, the Maharajas or Maharanas of Udaipur are considered to be the number one in the royal families available in this country. We have many ex-rulers, and India had lot many rulers ruling over various states, and they have an association. I asked one of the Maharajas who visited Gyan Sarovar a couple of times, and he has earned the status of the Supreme Court advocate in India, highly educated person. And out of the rulers, ex-rulers now, whom will you grade as number one? And he instantly spoke out Maharana of Udaipur. In that royal family, I believe some of you might know where Udaipur is. It's about 4 hours drive from here towards the east. And it is called a city of lakes and palaces, because the Maharanas living in that city have made many palaces over a period of time, and they have also made many lakes. It's a beautiful city where tourists come. Even the Secretary General of the United Nations visited that town, and then he wanted to meet the chief Radhika Kashmani ji, and we went to Gadiji to meet the Secretary General in Udaipur. Udaipur University is the university from where Gadiji got the degree, honorary degree of D.Litt, doctorate. The tradition there is that whenever a king is to be crowned, he is not allowed to put on the crown directly by the priest, as is normally done in any other royal family. That on the day of crowning ceremony, normally the prince will be called and be made to sit on the throne, and the royal priest will come and he will put the crown on his head. That is how traditionally the crowning is done in this country. But in this royal family of the Maharanas of Udaipur, the crown prince is taken first to a temple of Lord Shiva. And there, the crown is kept over Shivling and not over his head. And then he is told, listen, the crown prince, this kingdom of Mewar, we call it, the whole area is called Mewar and the capital is Udaipur. This kingdom does not belong to you. It belongs to God Shiva. This land and the people of the land belong to God Shiva. He is the real ruler. You are only his rep. Do you accept this condition before getting crowned? And then he happily smiles and says yes. If he does not do that, he loses his kingdom. Probably has no choice except to say yes. As the tradition goes, but they wholeheartedly say yes because they have that understanding deep into their mind that this land, which is a very special land, which has always been ruling the whole country for a very long time, that they have a list of their princes and it's almost a story of 5,000 years with them. Then they talk of Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, you know, they were the rulers once upon a time in this place, and then gradually first half is on the left-hand side part of the tree talks about the scripture stories and the right-hand part talks about the real existing royal family and the kings who ruled the area. And they tell also a story of around 5,000 years. It's something very similar to Baba's knowledge. And as we all know, Brahma Baba, as the Abhilekh Raj, then he used to have a business of jewels, he used to visit the city of Udaipur. And the then Maharaja of Udaipur was a very good friend of the Lake Raj. And they had rough regard for each other, so much so that the Lake Raj was so smart and so that the ruler at that time was not really so smart as the other Lake Raj was. And he had some handicap in his body. One of the rulers only. And then he told once to Dada, Dada, God has done a mistake. He should have made you the ruler of Udaipur and I should have been at your place. So much, you know, deep friendship the Maharana of Udaipur had with Dada Vikraj, who became Brahma Baba later. And in that family, such a high tradition continues even as on today. The crowning ceremony is still performed. And near Udaipur, there is a place called Sri Eklingji. It's a Shiva temple, a personal temple of the king. There he goes every Monday for doing worshipping. And that custom continues. Then Maharana Pratap was to be the king of Udaipur. if you travel to Jaipur now, on the right side of the road, there's a small temple which is still existing. There they say that since he was in very difficult times those days and the area was being attacked by the Mughals quite frequently, so Maharana Pratap was not doing the crowning ceremony at the royal temple or the royal palace, but his crowning ceremony was performed in that small village temple. And if you visit that temple today, the priest will tell you, here Maharana Pratap was made to sit. And then he was asked by the priest, do you accept that God Shiva is the ruler, is the real king of the land, and all these people belong to him, and you will be his act? And he very happily said that, because Maharana Pratap had no attachment to the kingdom. And he was totally detached, and he says, yes, of course, I accept it. Then he was given the crown on his head, and he was made the ruler. And the amount of responsibility with which he led the state is unparalleled in the history. He had the highest moral character, and he was one of the bravest kings ever produced. Though he had to do many fights with the Mughal attackers, in which sometimes he lost and sometimes he won, but he always maintained his high moral values. As we, the children of Baba, also have very high moral values, so high that we become the highest of high, the deities, the symbols of divinity, the symbols of all moral values we can think of, all human values we can think of. Towards the end of the class, I will narrate one of the stories of Maharana Pratap. But let's get into our normal Brahmin life. The soul has been given the responsibility to do what the Nirvair calls as firefighting work. Wherever there are some problems, anywhere in the country, sometimes, you know, due to some misunderstandings, the problems creep up in the family as well. And one needs to go to sort it out. And then, I always remember the blessings given to this child of Baba in 1988. That was the last meeting, personal meeting, which Madhuban Nivasis had with Baba. And each Madhuban Nivasi was called with Baba and given a particular blessing, depending upon whatever Baba observed in that child and whatever Baba saw for his future. Each one of Madhuban Nivasis have preserved those blessings in a photo shape, and they keep reminding themselves to keep up their stage. And I remember that what Baba told me was that you are the soul who always remains happy and imparts happiness to others by maintaining the stage of a detached observer and keeping Baba as your companion. And ever since, I can at least boast for my last 35 years, ever since I joined this institution, and especially ever since Baba gave that blessing, at least 20 years it is now, there has never been an occasion when I have to feel sad. Sometimes one has to pose to be serious. But otherwise, from the core of my heart, it is always a very happy and joyful life, full of superstitious joys. And I'm sent to sort out some problems. I always observe the scenes as a detached observer, keeping both the parties the same feeling of manufacturing, without making any assessments before hearing both the sides. sometimes situations look very, very complicated from outside. But if you have a habit of observing things as a detached observer, you can really go into the depth of it. You can go, as we say, you know, behind the scenes, and then resolve the conflict or solve the complications which apparently have developed. Also, if you are a detached observer and then you are given some extraordinary spiritual responsibilities, now I would like to use that word, still it works very well. Like 5 years after I was given this blessing in 1993, Gandhiji was going to preside over the Parliament of World Religions in Chicago. From my younger days, I had liked one saint who existed in our country with the name Vivekananda. Swami Vivekananda was the name of a saint who, in a very young age, glorified the name of our nation. And he was invited to the first parliament in Chicago in 1893. And after 100 years, a second parliament of the world religions was being arranged. This time there were 3,500 representatives from 120 different religions and the small bifurcations of them. In the first parliament, there were only 400 people. And there, Swami Vivekananda was given to a test. This scripture, Gita, was kept at the bottom, and all the other scriptures were kept on top of it. And then the in charge of the parliament, the senior most brother or father, we may call him, he said, "How do you like, Vivekananda, your Gita at the bottom of all the scriptures?" He was looking for his reaction. Vivekananda was detached, and he observed, and then, since he was responsible for religion which he was representing, he says, "Father, you have given the best place to the scripture of my country, Gita." How do you say that? It's at the bottom and all others are on top of it. You have given it the place of a foundation. If it shakes, everything else will shake. Then he was given a time, 3 minutes to speak. Even in a parliament, people always speak for hours together, like that in religious conferences. And he very silently kept observing the people there, his whole consciousness. Because Vivekananda also had his own philosophy of Raja Yoga. He did believe in elevated consciousness as we believe, though he did not know the God, of course. But since he was a highly spiritual person, he was in silence for more than a minute. And then he just says, "My dear," everybody was addressing, you know, ladies and gentlemen and all that type. He said, "My dear American brothers and sisters." And then he kept quiet. He didn't speak a word more. Then everybody says, "Come on, Swamiji, please speak something." He says, "My time is over. I can't speak anything else." And then everybody prompted him. And then the organizer said, "Okay, you can have a few more minutes, then a few more minutes, then a few more minutes." And then he continued for 3 hours. And the most impressive lecture he had. It's one of those experiences which I always like to let you know. You just be a detached observer, feel responsibility of work, and speak minimum, and their job is done. So then in 1993, Gandhiji asked me, "Who would like to come to me And I raised my hand in the meeting because I wanted to see the place where Swami Vivekananda had been 100 years ago. This was all my attraction. And then the teacher from Chicago, she comes and tells me, Ashok Bhai, can you please come a month in advance because I need help and I'm all alone here. That center at that time had one teacher and one student. And that student now lives in Peace Village. He was the owner of the house in which there was a center. Still that sister worked very hard for many years. She said, okay, I will come. And then we are having breakfast and more teacher comes. And her name is Dorothy, who is now living again in Peace Village. And she was the in charge of another center where we had the first museum made. And then she said, Ashok Bhai, you are coming to America. I would like you to make a visit to my center first before you go to Chicago. And I would like to have a gift. I looked at her. Normally, you know, Madhavan Nivasis go to some place, do some service, and they get gifts, you know. They bring back gifts. Nobody demands any gift from us. So I was looking at her and she says, you know, you have a friend, John. And he has left the Gyan. The last 2 years he has never turned to the center. He was actually the first instrument to start that center. Then I said, what do you want me to do? I want John back to my center. We Madhavan Nivasis, you know, have been trained not to say no for anything. So I just did, you will get your brother back. I came back to my room and started thinking, well, you have just done, you know, a poster of blessing to her. How do you get back? This man has gone away for the last 2 years and you don't know where is the town located in America and where is John and what sort of knowledge is going through. But then a thought came from within that God has blessed you, that He is always your companion. And this sister Dorothy has a faith in Madhavan. Because of which she spoke with confidence, I want my brother back. So Baba has to keep the prestige of Madhavan. Don't worry about it. And so I thought of a technique. Every day after morning Amrit Vela, normally, you know, we all go in religions and then Baba says that we should emanate vibrations for the benefit of souls staying in all the five continents. So I always emerge America and then Europe and then Africa and then Asia and then Australia and I keep moving with Baba and emanating vibrations. I've never seen US in my life and then I used to emerge. Now, America is almost the opposite side of India, 180 degrees behind. So I'll go up in six regions and then move towards America, reach that state and then that city and then emerge John because I could only remember his face as John. And then tell Baba, please tell this child to come back. Please tell this child to come back. To be very frank, I did have a little element of doubt whether the vibrations are really reaching him or not. Then in the evening hours, I'll go to Baba's rock. Because if you sit on rock, you know, then you're a little higher, closer to God. And then again, through the visions, emerge Baba, and then emerge the town and John, and then again through Baba, tell this child to come back because the sister wants him. I was totally detached because It was not a problem for me. It was her problem. And Baba had to solve it. And then I went there for 2 weeks. This exercise was carried out. And then I reached the airport. I come out and I find John waiting outside. The story doesn't end here. And I was still happy but detached. And keeping Baba with me. So I said, "Hi John, how are you?" You know, as the Americans, "Hi, so again, you know, embrace you and all." And then he said, "The vehicle is waiting outside." He used to drive a truck. He was doing some work in some company and, you know, in the front cabin was AC. So we sat in the front cabin. And, you know, he was driving a big vehicle, not talking anything. Then I looked at him, "So John, how do you feel? How is everything?" So after 5 minutes, he broke his silence. "Do you know, Ashok, America is a very strange country, and Maya here is also still stranger." So I looked at him, "How do you see that?" "I don't know whether you know it or not, I have not been to this country for the last 2 years." I said, "Then how did you come to see me?" "Dorothy gave a phone call that you are coming, so I thought that is coming, I have come to teach you. And then you go to this center. I have never been to US, I do not know the culture. How will they behave?" And then he asked me to come down from the vehicle. "Okay, bye-bye, take care." I said, "Come on, John, I don't know. How do you open this door of the center? And the door is closed, how do I get in?" "That's your problem. My job was to drop you here. And I'm going." He just knocked the door, somebody will come. Means he didn't want to go to the center still, nor he wanted to meet Dorothy. And then I asked him, "Come on, tell me, how did you come all the way to the airport and then bring me here?" He says, "I wanted to ask that." And then he says, "Ashok, do you know, I had a very strange experience during the last 2 weeks. Every day morning, Amrit Vela, somebody comes and shakes my cot." And he says, "Child, come back, child, come back." So I looked at him. Then, evening once again, you know, when I come back from my work, again somebody comes and whispers, "Child, come back, child, come back." I was so delighted at heart, but I was so surprised as to what is this man doing. He says, "Then, even then you don't want to let me go into this center and join me?" "No." "She has not invited me to this center. She only told me to pick you up. I wanted to come to the center, so I have come. And that's it, my job is over." And again, I looked up. So Baba says, "He's a very strange person." I said, "Okay, tomorrow is Thursday, John. Now I invite you to come to the center tomorrow. And we'll have a class together. If you say so, I will come. And they will also ensure that Dorothy invites you." Then I told the sister and she invited him. The next day he comes to the class. Since he was the instrument of that center right from the day one, everybody was very happy. And then I asked him to come and stand up in the class. And I told him, "Listen, John, how do you feel by looking at these people?" "Oh, I feel very happy to meet them because they are also very happy to see me. They are my real, dear, divine brothers and sisters." And then I asked him, "Do you want John to come back to the class regularly?" And everybody, you know, raised the word. "Yeah, yeah, yes, yes, we want John back, we want John back." And then I asked John, "Tell them what happened in the last 2 weeks." And now John had no choice. And then he repeated the story. "Every day, Amrit Vela, somebody comes and takes my cot and tells me, child, come back, child, come back." Imagine what it would have been my inner state of supersensuous joy. I was, you know, overwhelmed with joy. Just in front of public, he's accepting. And every time, you just take the responsibility, but be a detached observer and keep Baba as your companion. And it works. The vibration is going all the way to the other part of the earth. And then the whispers in his mind always going on, and naturally the soul was ready. And then it was a pious day, Thursday, and John is facing the crowd and everybody wants him back. He says, come on, John, now please tell me, would you like to come back to the family? Attend the class regularly. He looks at me. I'll think about it. Then, sitting on the dais itself, sitting on the stage, you know, I immediately went up and I told Baba, please touch this child once more. This guy needs one more help. And then he was thinking. I said, come on, everybody, today is Thursday, they all want you to be with them every day now because they have been longing to meet you for 2 years. Okay, I will start coming. I said, no, not that much. Don't think about it. You have to make a promise. Because in this divine family, when we join, the transformation starts from the moment we make a pledge for transformation. From that impure worldly life to this pure worldly life. That's how I started my entrance into this institution. My first meeting with Baba started off with, he said, do you take a pledge of purity? And I looked at him. Imagine I was newly married. And of course I was living a pure life because we ended up living together. She was a student. And then when I face God face to face, I always have that thrilling joy. And I was in a very subtle stage and I looked at Baba. Because I had told my teacher that if you can make me meet God face to face, and I can talk to him as I can talk to you, I promise you that I will lead a pure life for 21 lives, for to talk of one life. Because it was beyond my imagination that we can meet God face to face. And then I can talk to God. And that was the first word, you know, God expected from the child. Because he started with, so what have you thought about following the first principle of Brahman life? So I looked at Baba and says, well, I'm not thinking anything. I'm so delighted to meet you. Then he says, I want you to tell very clearly, what have you thought about the first principle of the Brahman life? Because now you're taking me face to face. And I said, Baba, I'll try my best. First of all, I said, how does he know? And then I said, he's the God, he has to know everything. Then he says, roughly, well, child, Baba does not believe in trials because trials have no strength. In Hindi, there are rhymic words, you know. I said, puri koshish karunga. Koshish means trial. And kashish means a pull. Baba said, koshish mein kashish nahi hoti hai. There is no pull in a trial. So I looked at him, I said, then what do you want? He says, Baba only believes in a pledge. And then I looked at him. And I said, if God wants it, it is his problem to convince the other party. Why should you bother about it? He's asking you for a promise, he's going to help you out. And my hand, you know, we shook hands with the God and pledging purity. And it is sustained in a very natural way for the last 36 years now. So I always remember that, that if you really want to get the person transformed, you must ask him to take a pledge. So I remember Baba, and then in a very detached but very involved manner, I told John brother, you have to take a pledge that you shall start coming to the class every day. And then John nodded his head. Okay, I promise. I will come to the class every day. And John is again Baba's child. It's now last 14 years. And he's once again in the family. So this is how, if you are committed to Baba, and you have a sense of responsibility on yourself as a detached observer, but having the inside deep faith that he is the doer. you'll be able to fulfill all the responsibilities which are bestowed upon you. Any type of task, nothing is impossible in the dictionary of Brahmins. Here everything is possible with ease, but with little effort. One has to put the instrumental effort. That is there, because without effort, there is no result, there is no luck. If we have to make our fortune, we have to put in some instrumental efforts, very sincere efforts. And they become easy when you take Baba as your companion. There are so many experiences of impossible becoming possible. Like just in the beginning, around 1990, we had to take a license for a wireless set substitution. Wireless sets were never permitted those days. Only by exception, in an extremely exceptional case, they would allow it. The government rules were very difficult. So those days when we go out, we used to meet Baba and ask Baba, I'm going to Delhi. And we need a license for the institution, for the HF wireless communications. The rules are very difficult. So I looked at Baba, and then I wanted to see what he says. He smiled. He says, when you go for godly service, the government rules will definitely be liberalized. As simple as that. And since you are going to Delhi, you know, you do many good jobs. He makes you so light. Just be detached. Go there, meet the officers concerned. Rules will be liberalized. This is how God involves himself. This complex of the unsolver, right from day one, from the time we purchased the land till the unsolver came up, we had so many difficulties, apparently so many obstacles, we call it. So much so that the chief minister of the state had put in black and white, this construction of Gyan Sarovar is not to be sanctioned and signed. Because in Mount Abu there is a restriction on constructions due to environmental problems. Now the Supreme Court has totally banned any type of new constructions. And that time, the restrictions had started coming up. Supreme Court was not involved. But the government of Rajasthan did not want to make any big structures here. So you can imagine, if the top person of a state, the elected chief minister, says no, nobody can speak of that, because any sanction in Mount Abu had to be cleared by the chief minister only. And again, you know, as detached observers, we had to remember Baba. There was no other way. We had done all state work of doing proper paper actions and all that, but that no was a capital N-O. And then, suddenly one gentleman comes up, Dr. Chinnareddy, whose name you see outside on the plate, it is mentioned, you know, the foundation stone. He was made the governor. And he was a friend of Brahma Kumaris. The governor has no powers in the state to interfere in any government job. And then suddenly an event happened. There was some riot in northern part of the country, and four governments were dismissed, including the Rajasthan government. So the chief minister was dismissed. And something else, another event which had nothing to do with us. And then suddenly, our friend Chinnareddy becomes all in all. And he went and occupied the seat of a chief minister because he was very fond of having full power. And then he invited Dadiji for honoring her with the degree of doctorate because he was the chancellor of Vijaypur University. And then Nivar Bhai was with us, and Dadi ji and Nivar Bhai was telling Dadi again and again that she should tell the governor to clear Gyan Sarovar. And then Dadi opened her mouth about that Gyan Sarovar clearance. She said, there is some, we want to make a university academy. And the governor says, it was a good friend of mine. Ashok, don't bother her for this sort of things. She's a special lady. I only want her blessings. And then if you bring it to administration, we'll talk later. And then I said, sir, about your academy. Oh, that orchard you want to make somewhere outside Mount Abu? Don't worry about it. It'll be done. And let Dadiji give me spiritual guidelines and blessings. She has only come to me for a few minutes. And I'm only interested in taking her spiritual strength being imparted to me. Imagine how things happen. A state head says no, he gets dismissed. Another person becomes the state head. And he is a friend of the organization. He develops personal regard for the Dadiji. He gives her a doctorate degree. And then he only wants her spiritual sustenance. And when we talk of a huge project, that's nothing. No problem. That I will do. You don't have to worry about it. And within 10 days, he rang up the local teacher of the state capital to inform her, please tell Dadiji that your academy plans have been sanctioned and everything will go as per my desire. It's God's work. It will be done. So if you feel, if you remain detached from the events which happen, not go away from your responsibilities. You keep your papers on, you make a beautiful project, he had made an eco-friendly project which was so impressive because then he had to call the chief town planner and he had his own conditions. Things don't happen just like that. It needs a lot of efforts. But efforts are only instrumental. The companionhood of God brings out all the desired results. If we are detached from the situation. If you had started worrying, oh, what will happen now? How will the academy come up? Probably with our waste thoughts, this will never come up. And if we do not have any waste thought and we have that firm faith, then no obstacles come in your way and success becomes your birthright. Sustaining stage also becomes very easy. 26 January 2000, that is the day we celebrate as the Republic Day of India. There was a big national level conference of the members of the Rotary Clubs of India. And since Rotary Club is an international organization, we had the Rotary seniors or like governors from different countries also. And we were standing for the Republic Day at 8:30 a.m. at the flag hosting place. I'm just giving an example of how a detached state works. An earthquake which reads vector scale 8.2. Do you know what is 8.2? Anybody understands what is 8.2 vector scale for an earthquake? Everything you see around gets smashed. The epicenter was about 400 kilometers from here. The earthquake lasted 3.5 minutes here. And here, it was about 2 minutes duration. As Dadi Manohar Indraji was going to hoist the flag, Indian national flag was going to be hoisted, five Rotarians from five continents standing behind to give their greetings. And as she started touching it, I started looking. There were flower pots. They were shaking. I looked at the flag mast. It was like this. I looked at the buildings, training center, the whole building was doing this. On the extreme end of Rajeshi Bhavan, I heard later, some people, you know, running or helter-skelter out of the bathrooms. And here, since we were standing, and I saw things, I was totally detached, I could make out that a very severe earthquake is on. And it so happened, this is very surprising, that we did not remember Shri Baba for 3 minutes as we normally do to do any flag hoisting. And that's what keeps immediately in my mind when I tell people. Normally, dear guests, we always stand in silence for 3 minutes before we do any flag hoisting. So before we hoist the flag, I will request everyone to stand in deep silence and emanate vibrations of peace to this Mother Earth. I don't know how many people could catch this part. And then everybody was in deep silence, meditating, emanating vibrations of peace. Next day was over. And then, when the flag hoisting was done, and the guests were asked to do greetings, not that nobody observed it. One of the guests who was an observer, he was from US, he spoke out. I think the coordinator rightly made us wait for 3 minutes to emanate vibrations of peace to the Mother Earth because it needed it very badly today. Because he observed, you know, shaking of the earth. But imagine, if you are detached, everybody thought, oh, this wall will fall on me, what will happen, I should run, you know, on the earth, what people do. And this is happening also with some people who are on the other end, whom I came to know later. But since you are at a responsible place, there are 250 VIPs standing in front of you, and an international conference has to start within half an hour, you cannot afford to create a chaos. And as it is for Baba children, no situation can become chaotic. If we can maintain the communication with our sweetest Baba, everything happens in a decent manner. Even the earthquake went very silently with peace. And then the conference started off at 9 o'clock. By the time it started off, the news started spreading. About 100,000 people had died in that earthquake. Just 200 kilometers from here. It was such a severe earthquake. But if you can maintain a detached stage, even during the period of transformation, then we may have to see some scenes, you'll be able to maintain a detached stage because it's not a practice, that's it. While doing your normal responsibilities, keeping a detached stage helps you to maintain a stable stage as well. I think there is no time to go through the story of the royal family. Maybe some other time, we will share. But what is responsibility towards values? Can it take 5 minutes? As I started off, Mahana Tapa, Gita Didi is here, she has seen that particular day, 26th January. Mahana Pratap, the ruler, for whom when he was crowned, the condition was laid down that this land and the people belong to God Shiva. He is the ruler. And you are only his instrument, rep. And you will rule this land, maintaining the highest traditions of the land. And the basic tradition of the land is respect ladies. Under any circumstances. That's the culture. Once during a war, Maharana Pratap had sent his son as the army commander to a place which is another 350 kilometers from here, Ajmer. And Mughal Emperor Akbar, who wanted to somehow finish Maharana Pratap, because that was his main enemy, left out. He had run over all the parts of the country except this state. And resistance of Maharana Pratap was never breaking tired. Maharana Pratap had built up some good armies, and about 100,000 troops from the Mughal side and about 50,000 troops from Maharana Pratap side for the war. And 50,000 troops were really too strong, and 100,000 troops are nothing for them. And they defeated them. The opposite Mughal army commander ran away helter-skelter. And when he was going, you know, somebody hit him and he got his finger shot. So he was so much scared that he did not bother as to what is left out, because he came with his family, with his son and daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law was left, and then the men ran away. So the son got a very nice chance. He arrested the daughter-in-law with one or two servants. And his ministers advised, let us get onto this. It's a very good bargaining thing, you know. The daughter-in-law of an emperor, if he is with us, we'll be able to bargain. And emperor's commander's daughter-in-law. And then he brought her to Maharana Pratap. He said, father, I have not only one, I have brought a gift for you, with which we can bargain with the enemy. And Maharana Pratap said, what is that gift? And the daughter-in-law was produced. The moment Maharana Pratap saw his son making a lady as a slave, he looked at him with stern eyes. He says, what the hell have you done, son? You are my son. You are the prince of this land of the highest moral values. God Shiva is the ruler. I am only an instrument. How dare can you do this? You just picked up a lady out of the whole war. You can't pick up any other enemies. You don't deserve to be called my son. I didn't know what to do. And then the minister said, no, sir, we advise him. He said, why, how dare you advise him to do such a wrong thing? I always respect the ladies. And he said, listen, daughter, you are my child. You don't have to worry at all. War is a different game, and respect to a lady is different. And then he sent his son. He says, you will have to bear the fruits of your action. You will escort this lady, go to Delhi, appear in the court of Emperor Akbar. Apologize for the mistake made. He says, Dad, come on, he's the enemy. If I go there, he will kill me. That's what you deserve. See the respect which the culture has the heritage, and see the end result. The son was sent with 100 bodyguards. Respectfully, that lady was escorted to Emperor Akbar. The message went across, and the emperor was delighted with the bravery shown and the respect shown to a lady by his enemy. Akbar had a very big heart, and a brave man always respects a brave man. Whether he is enemy or not, it does not matter. And then the son brought the lady to the court. Emperor Akbar greeted him with love and regard, and he says, this is the best day of my life. I have come to know what my enemy Maharana Pratap is. If that man has so much regard for the females, for the ladies, he is really a very divine person. I will feel proud to make a friendship with him. Go back and tell your father that now Emperor Akbar is your friend. He is your foe. There will be no more fights between you two. He maintains his land, and I maintain my land, and we live as good friends. So if we feel responsible to be task which is given to us by Baba, having a respect for our divine sisters, you will find that all the efforts needed to achieve success will be minimized. and you'll find so many strange successes coming on your way. That man was expecting that he'll be killed by the enemy. And instead, he was respected. And the war changed into a friendship. The enemies became friends. So if you are detached from the results, and you are attached to Baba, then you always feel responsible to do what task has been instrumentally allotted to you. You shall always succeed in life. Your enemies will also become your friends. They are only apparently enemies. Spiritually, we are real brothers to each other. And then we do good things, divine things. We always win the hearts of everyone. And your responsibilities are fulfilled like a game. The life becomes a game and you play it very well. And as we say, success is our birthright. For a Brahmin child, success is our birthright. So let's always keep this in mind, that Baba is my permanent companion. Whatever task is allotted to me, I will do it with the best of responsibility. And he will ensure success for you. By keeping it at that stage, you always enjoying the super senses joy because you are not affected by the events which are happening around. And your source of joy is my Baba. Om Shanti.